If you would turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, to the fourth chapter. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. This evening I will read a selection from Mark chapter 4, focusing on the three parables, omitting a brief section. And again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. They have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. And then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold." Continuing in verse 26, "And Jesus said, 'The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts it in the sickle because the harvest has come.' And he said, 'With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade.' With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we pray, along with the disciples, that you would explain the meaning and the truth of these parables to us. Give us ears to hear, and eyes to see. In Jesus' name, amen. If you keep your Bible open to the Gospel of Mark, so far in our study, there's been a lot of talk about the kingdom. The kingdom has come. The kingdom is among you. The kingdom is here, and so on. But at no point does Jesus give us a clear textbook definition of what the kingdom of God really is. In this past Sunday, Jesus referred to the kingdom of God and the king as a strong man ransacking someone's house, plundering it. Later on in the gospel, we will see that the kingdom of God is compared to a treasure hidden in a field, or a pearl of great price, or like a wedding feast, or like leaven and yeast in bread, and so on. And tonight, Jesus gives us three parables to help us understand what the kingdom of God is exactly like. If you have your Bible open, look in chapter 4, verse 33 there at the end of the reading. We can tell these are not the only parables Jesus told. It says, with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. So we can assume he told several other parables. Tonight, we look at the parable of the sower, the parable of a seed growing, and a parable of a mustard seed. Three agricultural parables, biological parables. Now, we often think Jesus uses analogies from seed and sowing and planting because they would have been readily understandable in an agrarian society, a clever pedagogical strategy to make very complex ideas simple. But we actually discover Jesus' intent is the opposite. He tells the parable to find out who gets it and who doesn't. When his disciples are confused by all of this, look in verse 10, Jesus says, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, and he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. The kingdom is a secret, and not everybody discovers the secret and is let in on it. Some people think Jesus is out of his mind. Other people think Jesus is demon-possessed. Not everyone gets it. Not everyone is going to see it. And just like in Isaiah chapter 6, the passage I read earlier, some hear the word and respond to it with faith, and others respond to it with ridicule and contempt. Some see the kingdom and are drawn to it, and others are threatened by it and do everything in their power to oppose it. In fact, in chapter 4, this little word "hear" shows up no less than 10 times. Do you hear the word? Not in the sense of are you hearing the word, are you listening to the word acoustically, but can you hear it in your heart? Do you resonate with it? Do you believe it? Can you receive it? Now, tonight's three parables each follow the same threefold structure. First, you'll see a seed is sown. Then there is a problem, a difficulty, and then there is surprising growth. Now let me show you what I mean. First, look at the parable of the sower in verse 3. Jesus tells us the sower went out to sow. And later on, apparently, because the meaning of the parable of the sower was not clear to all those who listened, he explains it explicitly, and his explanation is in verse 14. He says, the sower sows the word. But then there is a problem. The problem first arises in verse 4. As he sowed, as the word is sown, some seed fell along the path and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky soil where it did not have much soil, and it immediately sprang up since it had no depth of soil. But then the sun comes, and that other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it and yielded no grain. Now, even after this explanation, the disciples are not clear what all of this means. So they ask him to explain it again in verse 10. Those around the 12 asked him specifically, "Can you please explain what you mean?" And then in verse 15, Jesus gives his explanation. The problem with the sowing of the seed of the word is that there are different soil conditions. Some are confident, so confident of their beliefs that they refuse to even consider the message of Jesus at all. Others initially seem attracted to the message, but it doesn't penetrate the heart. It doesn't stick. It doesn't last. Another group hears the message and even finds it somewhat appealing, but they get distracted by the worries of the world, the pleasures of the world, like thorns choking out a fragile seedling. This prevents them from growing and bearing fruit. The seeds don't take because of the soil conditions. But then we see something surprising. In spite of the very mixed and disappointing response to the word, something happens, something mysterious. In verse 8, somehow another seed falls into good soil and it produces grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And Jesus, again, has to explain what he means. It's clear from the disciples' questions they are not yet tracking. So he says in verse 20, just to be perfectly clear, "Those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it, and they will bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold." The second parable follows the exact same pattern. Look in verse 26. "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." Again, the kingdom is like a seed, the word of God being planted in soil. And we immediately run into a problem. Look in verse 27. "The man who sows sleeps and rises night and day." So once the sower has sown the seed, he faces uncertainty. He's made the investment. He's purchased the seed. He's planted in the ground. And now he has to wait. He can't do anything except for wait. The moment the seed has left his hand, he has to let go. He has to let it be. He has to relinquish control. He needs to surrender to the process. All he can do now is to wait. He just needs to wait. There's nothing he can do to speed up the process of growth. Checking the growth every few hours is not going to help. It's not going to accelerate the growth at all. It won't make a difference. What he needs to do is go to sleep. I bet, I don't know about you, the next morning comes, he wants to check the progress. He's looking at the soil. There's nothing. He probably second-guesses himself whether or not he's looking at the right spot on the ground where he thinks maybe yesterday he sowed the seed. But at the end of the first day, there's still nothing. He waits all day wondering if something is going to sprout, but he doesn't see anything, so he has to go to sleep again. He gets up the next morning, and he checks again, and there's still nothing. He has to wait. He waits all day. By the end of the second day, there's still nothing to see. So what does he do? He needs to go back to sleep. Nothing is happening. You can imagine the discouragement. And he wonders if anything is ever going to come of it. And this process repeats itself, who knows how long, interminably long. And then one day, after some time, there's something green. Oh, wait, this looks like life. This looks like a little blade. This is good. We have a blade. This is promising. He goes back to sleep. A few more days, a little bit of growth in the blade. But then one day there is a small sign of an ear. Not the whole thing yet, but it's a small sign. It looks like that's what it's going to become. That night he has to go back to sleep. And then the text says a few days later, the full grain in the ear. And just as mysteriously as the parable of the sower who saw 30, 60, 100 exponential kind of growth, despite a rather inauspicious beginning, there finally is some growth. Despite the absence of discernible progress, and without any human involvement, while he is sleeping mysteriously, there is a harvest. Look at verse 27. You hear the rhythm. He sleeps and rises night and day. And the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle. Oh, he was ready for this moment because the harvest has come. You see the same pattern in the third and final parable. Look at verse 31. The kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. The problem here with this third parable is not the soil conditions, or not like the second parable, the time lag. The problem with the seed of the mustard is that the seed is so small, it's tiny, it's just a few millimeters in diameter. How can anything substantial grow from this seed with its microscopic dimensions? The seed is inconsequential. It looks meaningless. It looks so small. It might as well be nothing. There's nothing to it, and nothing good will probably come of it, is what he's thinking. But look at what Jesus says in verse 32. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Even though the mustard seed is smaller than all the other seeds of the earth, it grew and became a tree, and it became a home for all the birds. Now, in these three parables, we learn something very important for us at the beginning of Lent. The Word of God is like a seed. And the seed, the Word of God, the good news of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, is sown everywhere in the Gospel of Mark. It is sown in Galilee, in Judea, in Jerusalem, has even reached up all the way up north into Lebanon. Some people are on board. Some people think Jesus is crazy. Some follow immediately, and other people think that he's demon-possessed. Some people believe, some people don't. Some people hear it, some people can't. Some have eyes to see, and some don't. Some people seem to be interested for a while, but then they veer off and go do their own thing. Some come inside, and others stay outside. There's a wide variety of soil conditions, even in these first four chapters. And with some, the seed takes forever to sprout. And the seed of the word seems so small and so inconsequential. The kingdom begins small and begins with just one man in a village in one town. And then he invites one disciple. And then he invites his brother. And then he invites another set of brothers. And then he invites a tax collector. What good could possibly come of this kind of a gathering, this ragtag group of followers of Jesus? This is not a promising start. But don't be fooled. Something is happening. It may seem small. It may seem mysterious. Not everyone understands it. And for a while, in fact, for most of this gospel, it seems as if this entire kingdom mission is doomed. Jesus persecuted, Jesus arrested, Jesus tried in a kangaroo court, Jesus falsely accused, Jesus suffers. The kingdom does not seem to be advancing. The kingdom does not look at all like a strong man. It does not look victorious. In fact, in the end, he suffers, and then he dies. And it looks like the entire project will be blown away by the wind. But Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God grows slowly, mysteriously, sometimes even imperceptibly. While you're sleeping, while you are waiting, while you are watching, while you are agonizing, the kingdom is growing. And eventually, as we see here in all three parables, the growth is phenomenal. It's disproportionate and has an incommensurable outcome. This is not a sudden explosion, but there is a gradual, powerful, hidden, regenerative force of the work of God through the Word of God. The kingdom of God does not expand like some violent revolution. It's not a military takeover performed by a bunch of angry zealots. Jesus' kingdom revolution doesn't work that way. It begins small, and there may be a long time between sowing and reaping. But the Word of God will accomplish what God purposes and shall succeed in the thing for which he sends it. Once the Word has been planted, once the Word of God is planted in human soil, gradually at first, it will grow, somehow supernaturally, mysteriously, in a marvelous, hidden, an inexpressible work of God, a work that is powerful and pleasing, to quote the canons of Dort. The seed is activated by God. We don't know how, but it happens while we're sleeping. I want you to think about this for a moment. You are here today, and I am here today because somewhere, at some point in the past, someone sowed seeds of the Word in my life. They sowed the seed of the gospel in your life. Maybe the seed took a long time to come to fruition. Maybe somebody had sleepless nights wondering if you would ever have the eyes to see and the ears to hear it, and wondering if anything would ever come of it. But all along, God has been at work. And so for Lent, you can live in the confidence that your God is invading this world and the kingdom of God is advancing through his Word. So you have one job and one job only for this Lent. Sow seeds of the Word. Read the Word of God. Share the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Teach it to your children. Read it with your spouse and with your friends. Sow the seed of the Word of God. Get the Word of God into the hearts of your people. Get the Word of God into the hearts of your children. Go to the Word of God when you need comfort. Go to the Word of God when you need reassurance for forgiveness of sins. Go to the Word of God when you are confused and you need direction. Go to the Word of God when you are despondent and hopeless and you need to be emboldened and rekindled particularly in your flagging zeal. Go to the Word, your God, when you realize that you need rejuvenation. But sit with it, listen to it, hear it. And then after you've heard it, you wait, and then you watch. You may not see the results right away. It may be days, it may be weeks, it may be months or years. But one day, He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. You will know not how. That's the plan for Lent. Sow, wait, sleep, and harvest. Sow some more, wait some more, sleep some more. And then while you were sleeping, God will do his work through his word. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.